But I ask you to listen to what I have to say. Pay attention. And if I teach something that's not true, I want you to be my friend and come to me and let me know and I'll correct it. I'm glad you're here. Glad your presence. I'm encouraged by your presence. And those of you that have been sick and unable to be with us, we're glad you're back. We missed you. Turn your New Testaments to Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to read the entire chapter of the three parables that our Lord taught. And after the reading of three, we're going to come back and talk about these parables. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which was lost, until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders and rejoiceth. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and say unto him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked, What does these things mean? And he said unto him, Thy brother can't. Is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as as this thy son was come, which thou hast devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, was lost in his family. There's a lot of lessons taught from these three parables. We see the importance to our Father in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. We see the rejoicing that takes place in heaven over an individual who's lost and repents of that sin. We see the love that the Father has us for us as sinners. I'll look at these three parables maybe in a different view than you possibly have studied them, but the sheep was lost for a particular reason, the coin was lost for a particular reason, and the son was lost even for a different reason than the other two. I think this is important. People today are lost for different reasons. And as we as children of God, I think it's important to realize and understand that we might be an aid to helping restore them back to the Lord. This sheep that was lost, I think, just wandered away. I've never raised sheep, but I know several people that do. There's a gentleman in North Alabama that's got 300 head, and I spent a lot of time with him over the last couple of years. And he tells me that a sheep puts his head down when he starts grazing. It's not like a cow. Okay, I eat along and pick her head up every once in a while and look and see what's going on. Or you people that deer hunt. You know how attentive a deer is when it walks out in the field. It's constantly looking. You can reach down and get a bite and look up. But people that raise sheep tell me they'll just put their and just graze on out, and just not paying any attention, just wander away. In the biblical times, we read of the shepherds that was in the field. We see dogs that keep the sheep in a herd. This particular sheep that got lost, I don't think it intended to. It didn't wake up one morning and say, "Today's the day I'm going to go get lost." People leave the Lord in the same manner. Not paying attention to where the direction that we're going and just wander away. There's warnings that's given us in God's Word. A scripture that we're familiar with is in Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. A warning that's given about this wandering or this drifting. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, I believe, gives the word drifting away. We should pay closer attention to the things that we've been taught, lest we begin to drift. The definition of drifting was to be carried away by current of water or air. Have you ever stood on the creek bank and as kids we would go down after a rain, get on the creek and take a piece of wood and pitch it in the creek and we'd follow it down, we'd watch it go down. We might make us a little boat. It would just drift along and if it got down too far, you'd lose it. Last week we were hunting in South Alabama and a big rain was the area that we was wanting to go to and hunt and it was flooded. And there was a big creek there and just logs coming down in treetops. And y'all, you've witnessed these things. Drifting along spiritually is very, very dangerous. Why was this warning given? Because we can drift as Christians. There's not an individual in this room that can't relate to what I'm fixing to say in that we get up as in the morning and hurry to get breakfast to eat and hurry to get ready to work and hurry to work and work in a hurry all day in a panic race, especially you people that drive to Birmingham or to Decatur or to Huntsville. And you fight that hurry traffic all morning to get there and you work during the day and then when the evening comes, you hurry to get back home. And you that have children and some of us that have grandchildren, there's after school activities that you want to attend and you hurry to get there. And before long, the day's gone. You get back to home and it's time, instead of having that hour set aside or that time set aside for the reading of the God's Word, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll put that off to tomorrow because I'm tired. And I relate that to that sheep that just reached out and got another blade of grass. Took that head a little bit further away. There's nothing wrong with these things that I just spoke of. We have to work. We have to go to work. There's nothing. We need to be spending time with our children. But during this, who gets left out? How many examples do we have in God's Word? And I was going to take more time and look them up, and I didn't. But sometime in the next few days, open your Bible and see how many times you can find that Jesus went to his Father in prayer. Those years that we have examples of him on the earth, he went to his Father numerous and numerous and numerous times, and he prayed. Paul told the brethren at Thessalonica in the first letter that he wrote in the 5th chapter in verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. When we become so busy in the activities that we get caught up in, sometimes we forget to pray. Sometimes we forget to study. As Paul instructed Timothy to do, to study, to show thyself approved. And it wasn't to be approved of my wife. Judy doesn't approve my Bible study, and the elders here doesn't approve my Bible study. But let's look at God's Word in that we need to study to be approved of the Lord. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That might put a little bit more emphasis on I'm studying in order to be approved of God. How much studying am I doing? And when I'm putting that aside and when I'm forgetting to pray as I should, what's lacking? When these things start taking place in our lives, it could be as simple as the Wednesday night Bible study is something that might not be as important to me as it should. And with that thinking, it's like that sheep is reaching out and getting that another blade of grass. And if it begins to show into my attendance on the Lord's Day worship, is that not a form of drifting? Just getting away from God. We ought to pay closer attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Think for just a moment, what is the opposite of drifting? If an individual is drifting, what would be the opposite? It would be steadfastness, wouldn't it? 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, again, scriptures that we are all familiar with. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What do you think of when you think of steadfastness? Something that's steady. Something that's solid. A few years ago where Lance and I worked in steel plants making tubing, we put a big facility together and the earth was nothing but just backfill. And they got a Bricefield and Grower got their geotech groups in there and their structural engineers, and they said, dirt's no good. We're going to remove it to the rock, which they did. Took up all the dirt. And then they drilled into that solid rock, and they poured foundations from there up to level of the floor. Some of them was 12 foot thick. There's a piece of equipment called a slitter sitting down there on a slab that's steadfast. When you think of steadfastness spiritually, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is a position that we strive to get through in maturity. As Christians, we want to grow to the point that we're steadfast, looking into God in all directions of our lives, letting him direct our thoughts, our actions, our deeds. Drifting is dangerous. Why? Because it's easy. Doesn't take any effort to drift along, does it? Takes a lot of effort to go upstream if you got a swift current. And I guess the sad part about it, of drifting, is picture again that log and that brush top going down the creek, going down the river.
And it's carrying along others with it, isn't it? If we're drifting in life as a Christian, we're probably carrying somebody downstream with us. It may be my spouse. It could be my child. It could be my grandchildren. It could be my parents. It could be someone that I might have had some influence on that I'm just taking along for the ride. Let's be careful. Let's pay more attention to the things which we've been taught. The sheep wandered away out of its own carelessness. Kind of different with the coin. Lady had a coin. She had 10 pieces of silver. And through her carelessness, she lost it. Two questions I would like for you to ask yourself. And I ask myself, looking at this lesson. Who lost the coin? The woman lost the coin. And where was it lost? It was lost in the house. When she discovered it was missing, she didn't go look in the garden. She didn't go look in the backyard. She didn't look out in her car. She looked in the house. Do you know anybody that's in the church that's lost? I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, but people are lost like this coin was lost. It was lost in the house. There's people lost that was once faithful children of God but are no longer served the Lord. Next question. And when preparing a lesson, you that speak from time to time or teach a Bible class, you know what I'm fixing to say. You get a lot of information that applies to self out of a lesson. But how much concern do I show or have for these individuals that I might know that is lost? I challenge myself and I challenge you this week. Take a piece of paper and write down names that you know that were once faithful children of God, but now are no longer faithful. You don't have to share that list with anyone. Some of the names might correspond with someone else's, but write down those names and say, when did I talk with this individual? When have I talked with this individual? We'll see the individual maybe at Walmart, meet him on the street and say, good morning, how you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? But do we ever take time out to say, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. Let's sit down and talk about your soul salvation. Think about that. There's people lost in the church. And sometimes it could be because of the carelessness of other people. When our Lord looked down upon the Jerusalem in the latter part of his life, remember, Luke 19, verses 41, there beginning, he wept over Jerusalem. And the account that Matthew gave in Matthew 23, verse 37, just paraphrasing that verse, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said, you that kept stones of the prophets and kill them. He said, I could have been like a mother hen to your children. Could have gathered the chicks under my wings, but you would not. But you think about what Christ did there. He was looking at those Jews knowing that they was not going to repent. And he was saddened to the point that he wept. Shouldn't we be the same manner over a brother and sister that's lost? Shouldn't we be in tears and to a point that we weep? Think about what the woman did when she discovered the coin was lost. She grabbed a light, she got a candle, she lit it, she grabbed a broom, and I can see the anxiety there, her and Ernest trying to, she looked diligently trying to find that coin. How much candle lighting or flashlight lighting or sweeping have I done to those that I know that's lost? It's a serious question that we need to ask ourselves. The sheep wandered away, and the coin was lost because of the carelessness of the woman.
And then the third parable is the son that left. Have you ever asked the question, why did he leave? He had a good home. He had a good father. We see that when he returns. We see the love that was shown by the father when he comes back. So why did he leave? I think it's the same reason that Adam ate of that fruit when God told him, don't eat of that fruit that's forbidden. Why did Adam eat of it? Because he wanted to. That's what he chose to do. That's what he wanted to do. This younger son left the father because he didn't love the Lord. People leave today because they want to. You and I are tempted by Satan. And if you don't think you are, then you're mistaken. Where does the devil work? He's done got the work. He's working with God's children amongst us, trying to convince us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. Turn with me to James, the first chapter. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When we're tempted, and we give in to temptation, then the devil wins. But happier, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Job said in the 5th chapter of Job, verse 17, he said, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. As Christians, we should want to do what God asks us to do. We're here today because we wanted to be here. When we look into God's word and He corrects us in a way, a direction that we're no longer, if I'm doing things that I shouldn't do and I look into God's word and He says don't do that, I should want to do what God tells me to do. I should be trying to follow His directions instead of thinking, well, I'm going to do it because of fear. Yeah, that's part of it. But I should do it because I love Him. That's how we prove that we love the Lord, by obeying. And it's something that I should want to do. I should want to study His Word. And I should want to pray. And I should want to stay in contact with the Father in heaven. But if I catch myself not enjoying and wanting to do the things that God's directed me in, then I need to start repenting. Because that's part of maturity as a Christian, to grow to a point that we enjoy serving the Lord, enjoy doing good deeds, enjoy doing the things that's right. If it's a burden, we need to repent. The lessons that I hope we can learn from this, that people leave the Lord for different reasons. If we can realize that, we might can help bring those back that's lost. Appreciate your kind attention. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we urge you to come as we stand and as we sing.